gather around. I'm glad everybody came out tonight.
I feel like my team is probably going to go undefeated this year. Yeah, I do feel like I got pretty much all the good players.
You're calling undefeated season for Caddyshack Williams.
Yes, that's correct. It's like when Joe Namath guaranteed the Super Bowl. Did he really know that they were going to win? I mean, let's be real, no. But did he have the, you know, a 99% sure feeling? Yeah, he did. And that, so do I. Yeah. My bitch's bad and
Candy, S-L-A-N-G. Thinking about taking $1 million insurance policy out of my mouth.
Transition to a Lamborghini from a Mustang. Drug sling in the drug gang with the hustling. One thing. Anything is better than that.
You're the best podcast guy in the biz, man. What are we here for?
Hey, it's great to be back on your wonderful podcast.
The Semi-Pro Ducks Fantasy Football Podcast. Here's your commissioner, Rick.
Week 15 is finally here. The season is just 2 weeks away from ending. It's only a handful of teams and meaningful matchups, and it's the playoff semifinals, so not many games get bigger than this. We're beginning this week's pod, of course, with the winner's bracket. The two semifinal matchups are number 2 Luke, team I'm Thinking Arby's, facing number 3 Fronik, team Street Taco Charlton. And I'm the number 1 team, my JSIE Berries are facing Jordan's Cooper Cup of Noodles. So our first guest tonight to help us walk us through these two matchups, one of the GMs of a semifinalist, Fronik of Street Taco Charlton. Welcome to the pod. 2017 has been a real redemption story. Both of us made the playoffs last season. We were both eliminated in round one, and now we're in the semifinals. You got to feel good about that one, right?
Yeah, I actually think this might be, as sad as it is of a statement to say, but I think this might be the farthest I've ever made it in our fantasy football lives altogether.
Yeah, well, Luke always takes a semifinal or a final spot, so really there's only 3 other people that can get in.
Yeah.
Our second guest, also with us tonight via the Skype, he is safe in the constipation bracket, winning last week in his week one matchup. It's Jared of Team Jared Cooks. Jared, thank you for coming on the pod and covering both brackets here with us.
Yeah, of course. This is fun. The fact that it's kind of shitty that we had to do this so late because of the studios being used, but now we get to sit here together and talk about all the games. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and women's basketball didn't even win their game, so that's a real shame, I guess, behind all of this.
A double negative. So now
who did we play?
It's a positive, right?
Mississippi State.
So aren't they good?
My Bulldogs got the win, I guess. I'll take that. So let's jump right into this. We're taking a deep dive, take a big breath, and hold on. JSIE Berries against Cooper Cup of Noodles. I was on bye last week, so nothing really matters. My players stayed healthy and got healthy that week, while Jordan put up a week-high 133 in the winner's bracket, taking on Tim, who ended up having the lowest score of the entire week with a 57. Poor Tim. Didn't have a single player get into double digits except Harrison Butker, and he would have had to have scored 90, so that really didn't matter. His 8-game winning streak came to an end last week. Last time Jordan and I played was week 6. I beat Jordan 146-110 with essentially my full squad. The only difference now is that I don't have Adam Thielen. This week, Jordan and I, 4 players with red opponent rankings. Both of us might have some flex question marks as well, and players involved on Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday night games. That's a full weekend of football. Jordan, as the 5 seed, the only underdog to move on, now taking on the 1 seed. I was nervous as shit earlier today writing these notes out. I am nervous as shit now thinking about the matchup. It's actually here. What do you guys make of this? We'll start with Fronik. What do you make of this first semifinal matchup?
I think it's actually pretty even. I thought the top team all year long. You had a nasty trio of wide receivers and overperforming running backs in Fournette and Ingram, which no one, like, I remember leaving the draft thinking, wow, he's got a slew of wide receivers, but those running backs need some help. Like, he might have to do some trades or whatever, but I think you've had the best team overall all year. If you could get your quarterback situation and defense solidified. But,
yeah,
you know, when you've got those slew of wide receivers in Jones, Cooks, and Thielen, which you had, but
right,
I'll,
I know.
I'll talk about that later. Yeah, I thought, you know, you that can carry a team, three wide receivers like that, three top 10 wide receivers. So I like your team, but I think it's – I think Jordan's team's getting hot right at the perfect moment. Howard's looking really good. He's got a good matchup this week. Who are they playing? They're playing
Detroit.
Detroit, who's been terrible since Haloti Ngata from University of Oregon. Oregon, baby.
Oregon State.
Nope, shut up.
Ooh, damn.
Yeah, so they're actually been bottom-ranked defense, I think, since he went out. So Howard's going to have a field day if Stafford and company don't get up on them early. So
yeah, Lions have not given up less than 13 points to a running back this year. And damn. Howard went for 125 and a touchdown already against the Lions, so I'm not looking forward to that.
Yeah, and then Kenyon Drake. He was a great pickup by Jared at the time, and then you traded him away. But you know, he had to do something. So kudos to you, Jared. But yeah, Kenyon Drake's he's going to be an interesting pick, I think, for the draft next year. Kind of see where he goes. And then Devontae Adams. We'll see what happens in that wide receiver core now that Rodgers is back. So we'll see what happens with Jordy and him. But I think those three players are. They've all got good matchups. Devontae Adams is going against a 23rd ranked defense against wide receivers. So I think it's going to be pretty even. It's going to be really interesting to see both these matchups this week. So I'm kind of torn on both the matchups, honestly. It's going to be a really fun week.
I'm not torn. I already know who's going to win.
Oh, is it good news for me or is it good news for Jordan?
It's bad news for you, Rick. Oh, Jordan's going to win this game.
All right, let's see what your stance is.
We'll see you guys in a week. Thanks.
All right, great pod, guys. Thanks, bye.
Rick, I guess I should say, Fronik, my condolences. But, Rick, what do you think of Zach Ertz's stock is without Wentz throwing to him?
Yeah, it's very low. It hit me like middle of the day yesterday. That like Wentz wasn't going to be throwing him the ball, and even though Ertz is practicing and like he's back, like it doesn't matter. Like he's coming back, and it's just like he's not going to have like a good week. Like I don't know. It's either going to be one of the things where the tight end like gets all the targets because the quarterback just checks down the whole time. But I would have liked that to have happened with Ertz playing last week, so they would have had some sort of rapport. And they don't have any. So I'm.
What's your thought process for starting Seahawks D against the Rams?
I'm not happy with either of my defensive choices. I just feel like starting the Cardinals just seems like a dumb decision on the road. I think the Seahawks at home fighting for a playoff spot maybe makes sense. They always play the Rams pretty tight, and they're pretty low-scoring games. It was a pretty close one in L.A. earlier this year, so I feel okay about it. Obviously, I mean, their entire secondary is injured, so that's not great because Goff is going to put up a ton of yards, which I just noticed Jordan switched out Goff for Keenum earlier. Or no, he had Keenum in there the whole time. Never mind. I don't know. That I'm not happy with either of the defenses this week, but I feel like Seattle at home is a good play.
If I were you, I would actually, I was thinking about, you should probably pick the Cardinals. I know that's kind of a tough one just because Seattle's always good at defense and, you know, they're always fighting for a playoff spot, so they're always playing tough and they're always playing tough against the Rams. But the Rams are always actually, they always do well against the Seahawks for whatever reason. I can't speak. Especially the last few years, they've done really well and... Against the deep ball, they're going to have Robert Woods back, I just saw this week, and they're going to have Cooper Kupp and Sammy Watkins. So, I don't know. It should be really interesting of a pick, but I think it's probably going to come down to a game-time decision for you. But I think
Rick, why did Brandon Cooks, what happened to him on Monday night?
I didn't even watch the game, so I don't know.
Oh, boring, boring game. I was like, okay, I don't give a shit about this game.
Apparently Tom Brady's dead, and the Patriots are bad now, so of course Brandon Cooks isn't a good play either. So.
Or maybe Brandon Cooks isn't good. I do like, obviously, I like Julio Jones, but my kind of thought process with Jordan's team is Davante Adams is huge now because A-Rod's back. Stephon Diggs versus Cincinnati is a decent play. Kenyon Drake at flex. He's got three extremely good running backs. And Saints defense, I think, is also an extremely good play against the Jets. So I think that definitely gives the edge to Jordan. That's why I was pretty confident earlier saying I don't know if Case Keenum is the right play.
Yeah.
But that's, I don't know, that's a decision that he's going to have to make, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just kind of tough between both those quarterbacks because they're both like, they're not like elite options, but they're both like good, you know, options right now with the way that their offenses are both playing. So I don't know. Yeah, that's going to be a tough situation for Jordan to call.
Looks like Fournette didn't practice today.
Yeah. Yikes. It's looking awesome. I've got Chris Ivory, who is also like the number three back in Jacksonville now. I guess if he actually doesn't play, then I'll play Mike Davis probably, which I'll feel pretty decent about because the Rams are pretty bad against the run. So, God forbid Fournette is like doesn't play. I think I've got a decent like fill in running back there.
Why don't you just play him then over Crowder?
Because Arizona's got a really bad pass defense, and I feel like Crowder's got that a better boom potential. I don't. And Davis has got a rib injury, so one bad hit and he could get knocked out. Which
he played really well after he injured his ribs. Didn't he come back?
He didn't get a touch after he hurt his ribs. Mostly because Seattle was throwing the ball and they weren't like checking things down to the running back.
Yeah, I was watching that game, just freaking out. So, yeah. Interesting thing though is that it seems like every week on the pod, I listen to it and here is Rick, you know, saying, "Oh, why isn't Fronik starting one of these players that he picked up off of waiver wires?" And here you have three in Rod Smith, Mike Davis, and now Trey Burton. Now, I understand the Trey Burton move, but you've got two decent running backs that are, you know, arguably they're the best running back on their team at the moment. And you're not going to start them. Whereas Jordan picks up the Saints defense against the Jets and Bryce Petty. And we'll see how that game goes, but
it's at New Orleans. I thought that was kind of the crowd noise.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting. That Rick all year long has been talking about.
I brought it up like twice.
No, you brought it up like seven times.
I've been holding on to Rod Smith, basically hoping that maybe something happens with Alfredo Morris and he becomes the starter, and then I've got like a strong flex play. But he's still the number two. Like, he scored 3 weeks in a row, which is incredible. And last week had that massive week. But I don't know how awesome or how much they're going to be going to him in this game against Oakland. Like, I don't know if it's going to be Morris or if it's going to be a balanced attack. Like,
Oakland's bad, dude. Did you see what Kareem Hunt did to him?
Yes.
I saw, and he was on my bench, so it made me feel great. Yeah.
Looking over at Jordan's team, he's got three defenses on his roster, Redskins, Patriots, and Saints. Yeah. I feel like he picked up just the Skins and the Saints just to have them so that nobody else could. And going back to Case Keenum versus Jared Goff, Jordan, I get your rationale with Jared Goff playing Seattle. Their opponent ranked 9th, and Cincinnati, who Case Keenum is playing, is 14th. But, and also the appeal of double dipping with Stephon in Case Keenum. But what happens if Minnesota has a down game? Then you've lost two potential scoring players instead of just one. So I would say, I don't know, you got to think about Jared Goff too by spreading out the, so you don't have all your eggs in one basket. I don't know. That's a really tough decision.
Yeah. He told me that he was sticking with Keenum. I think he likes what he's seen the past couple of weeks from him. He played a lot of turnovers against Carolina, but I mean, it's the first in like 3-4 weeks that he had a turnover. So I don't know. I see the case in playing Keenum. That offense is rolling, nice. And they're going to be at home, and Cincinnati's, I think, never beaten Minnesota at home. Or I guess in Minnesota. the Vikings offense at home plays differently than they do on the road. So I think Keenum actually for Jordan might be the better play. Plus, he doesn't have to root against Jared Goff in real life for his Hawks.
Yeah, that'd be tough. I think Jordan would much rather have his fantasy team win this week than the Hawks win, though.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, it was tough rooting against basically all of Schmidt's team in the Eagles last week because he had, what was it, the two running backs and Alshon.
My game was crazy.
And he sat that was probably the game of the year in my eyes. But
especially the part where Wentz tore his ACL.
Oh, dude, that was so awesome. I was like crying tears of joy. That was so sick, dude. I was so excited about that.
And when he stood back up and started walking around, you noticed that he was limping, but I was like, oh, whatever. But then I saw that video and that Barstool tweeted, and you could see like his knee was all jacked up and like disjointed and out of place.
His knee
looked
pretty good.
Buckled.
It looked
like he could walk it off.
His knee, okay. Yeah, his knee buckled. And right. You could just tell like the way that it buckled.
You could see it through the pants and whatever. Yeah, it didn't look good.
Dude. The fact that he stood in there and threw another pass, a touchdown pass to Alshon, which pissed me off because that was more points for Schmidt. But,
I mean, if you can place one extra series on an ACL, what's three extra weeks? I mean, then you get the bye and you can rest up and then you play three more weeks. Like, it's totally doable.
I mean,
Donald Rivers did it.
Yeah, and Mickey Mantle played his whole career without an ACL. So, I mean, come on.
Is that real?
Yeah, that's real. If you Google like the athletes that played without an ACL, because they didn't have ACL surgery until probably about the 80s.
They didn't know what a knee was until the 80s.
Yeah, they didn't know what a knee was. Yeah, but they didn't know how to like...
All those skirts are hiding them.
They didn't know how to like, you know, do surgery on the ligaments.
Repair it. Right, Repair a ligament.
So they just said, okay, cool. You don't have a ligament anymore. So a lot of these
Here's half players, a knee.
Yeah, it's crazy. Fun fact of the day. Anyway, I don't know. That's a pretty tough matchup between Jordan and Rick this week. Jones is going to be going up against Tampa Bay's secondary, which is, I don't know. Jones has struggled, though. Like, even when you think he's going to have a great matchup, like, he's still, like, been like, okay, he gets 6.4 points. You know, like, that's...
He's been incredibly frustrating to watch because, like... You see what he does like every year, and like he's a top three wide receiver in the NFL. And like Steve Sarkisian comes in, he's just like, "We're gonna make you the 12th best wide receiver in the NFL. Like you're still gonna be the best on this team, but you're gonna be 12th best in the NFL."
Well, I honestly almost might argue that it's just because of the way that Jones is. Like, because if you think about the other two top like three receivers, it's Odell Beckham and Antonio Brown, and those guys are like prima donnas, and they need to be like the center of attention and get the ball. But whereas like Julio is just like whatever makes this team win, which Sarkisian's thinking the opposite, like whatever can make this team lose, I'm great with. So
trying real hard.
Yeah, he's doing a pretty good job.
I don't like he got a ton of targets against New Orleans, which I didn't really expect because their secondary was pretty tight, and to go for 5 catches for 98 yards was really strong.
He'll beat that this week.
I think they're figuring it out that, oh, maybe our best player should get the ball.
Yeah, but why is it taking them 14 weeks to figure that out?
I don't know. NFL
Super Bowl hangover, Rick.
Dude, NFL teams are idiots. If you look at the Cleveland Browns, they had a 1% chance of going 0-14, and guess what? They found a way to go 0-14.
But it's the Browns. Like, you expect that. Like, you shouldn't expect, like, a guy like Julio Jones to not get his first touchdown until week 7 and only have 3 touchdowns on the year. Like... The only thing that's saving him from being a top 10 fantasy receiver is the 44-point week he had against Tampa Bay, which was fucking incredible.
That gets me wet just thinking about that.
Yeah, I just came in my pants. But, like, he can't, like, he has the ability to actually go for, like, you know, 120 a game on 6 catches, and they just don't, like, feed him the ball. And then against New Orleans, Matt Ryan 3 times tries to feed, like, twice tries to force feed him the ball and throws an interception and just looks like an idiot.
Yeah, those are bad.
Those were the one that he threw where like Jones was being held and he threw it behind him that got picked, and then the floater in the end zone were just two of the worst passes I've ever seen Matt Ryan throw. Like they were picks from the second it left his hand.
In Sark's and Matt Ryan and Julio's defense, I feel like the opposing team, you know, day one of the week you're gonna play Atlanta. If not, a week before the defensive coordinator, his number one job is to stop Julio Jones. So I know it's disappointing that he doesn't get his first touchdown until week seven or whatever you said, and that he's not putting up as many points as he probably should. But he is the, you know, he's the name on that team, and he is the weapon that any defensive coordinator is worrying about. So the whole defensive scheme is
Antonio Brown, and he lights up the stat sheet every single week. Like, I don't understand what the difference is. Like, obviously, you know that you need to stop Antonio Brown.
Because they have Le'Veon Bell.
Right, but the Falcons have two also pretty high-quality running backs as well that you need to stop, and they have a good run game. Like,
both of them are neither the threat out of the backfield to catch the ball, though, that Le'Veon Bell is. So,
I think the biggest stat of this matchup, both teams have six guys that are playing away from home. That's how even this matchup is.
Thanks, Mike.
You're welcome. Anal Isis.
Good stuff.
So who do you got, Frederick? I don't think you picked anyone.
I'm going to go with Rick.
You have to decide right now.
I'm going
to
go with Rick. I think Julio and Matt, hopefully for him, I guess, that Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, dipping really helps him. And then Demaryius Thomas has a good matchup. They're 24th against wide receivers. And then I know you guys were talking about Ertz, and I have a little bit of insight. So Ertz, he usually deals with, like, you know, just like any normal tight end, right between the hashes and pretty close to the line of scrimmage. So Nick Foles, I mean, what do you think a backup quarterback is going to do? You know, they're going to be as
checkdowns.
Check down, and they're not going to take a lot of risks and things like that. So, you know, I think that's one good thing that's going for him. He's back finally when he probably could have played last week, from what I had heard. But they didn't want to test it. And, you know, NFL and head injuries, you know, they don't really give a shit anymore. So,
Did you see that Savage hit? He had a damn seizure on the field. He looked bad. Like,
oh yeah, and then they put him back in, though. That's the thing.
Yeah, no, that's the sad part about it. I watched that and I had a visceral reaction. I was like, ugh. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that made me not want to watch football.
I think honestly, people need to look at that and be like, oh wow, this is actually how much the NFL really cares about head injuries. It's all a publicity stunt. So anyway, putting that aside, start your tight ends against the Giants, because I think it was 9 straight weeks dating back to last year, and then the first 8 weeks this year, each tight end against them had a touchdown, and it was like they weren't even like great tight ends either. The one who snapped that streak, surprisingly, was Travis Kelce. That week that they had that just terrible game
he still went 9 catches for 120 yards.
Exactly.
Too.
Yeah. So Giants are terrible in general, but against tight ends especially. So I like Ertz this week. I think it's actually a good play if you had a better tight end somehow. But I'm not too skeptical on that play, to be honest.
I'm picking myself to win because I want to win, and so I'm going to give myself faith. I'm also rooting for like an all-time Plaxico from Jordan of like Goff, Williams, Murray, and Lee, just like everybody on Jordan's bench just kind of like going off again. Just like that's kind of the only thing that's going to save me is that and Xavier Rhodes shutting down AJ Green, and maybe it being like the Thielen show or something like that, or just another Minnesota running back or whatever in that Cincy game. Because I think a lot of our players probably end up being washes, and there's only a couple things that like he has an advantage in, and one of them is flex and wide receiver 3, probably with Diggs over Thomas. So I'm picking myself to win. I've got a lot of faith in my team. I think I've got a good team. And the more I think about the trades I made, the more I realize that they were fucking dumb and I shouldn't have done them.
Thank you for
agreeing to that. The first step is admitting your problem.
Yeah. This is an intervention pod, by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, even if I don't trade Goff to Jordan, like then I have Goff and I don't even have the need to have to trade for a quarterback when Alex Smith starts to play like Alex Smith of old, because I can play Goff. So
I mean, honestly, you should be happy that he's not playing Goff, because then that would just be so sad that you traded away Goff to him and then he ends up beating you like in the playoffs to go to the finals. So
Yeah, I don't know. It's not been great. Okay, so 2-1. We're picking myself to beat Jordan. So
I got you, Jordan.
Yeah, you sounded way more confident in your pick, though.
I am. I think his running backs and his flex is just going to overpower whatever decision you have. I mean, I don't know. The Case Keenum thing still bothers me, but I think Jordan just overall has a better team.
Yeah, I mean, all four teams that are left, as Jordan said, I think any of the four teams left could win it, and he's absolutely right.
Well, I do agree, though, that the running backs are better this week for Jordan.
Yeah.
Those three running backs. Yeah. Hottest take of the year. Thank you.
I'll make sure to add in the hot take sound effect underneath later for that. Our second semifinal matchup in the winner's bracket. Number 2, Luke. Team I'm Thinking Arby's taking on Fronik. Team Street Taco Charlton. Luke was on a bye, 1 week closer to getting Zeke Elliott back. And he has Aaron fucking Rodgers starting this week. That's awesome. It's so much fun that Luke got a really great quarterback out of fucking nowhere. Fronik, you pooped your pants and squeaked by Mike last week as Seattle was making a comeback, draining your Jags defense. Ultimately, a 0 from Jimmy Graham and starting 2 Eagle running backs for Mike's downfall. Two teams met very recently back in Week 10. Fronik got the upper hand 107-91 as Devontae Parker was not able to score enough on another Monday night loss, costing Luke the win. 6 players in the red for Fronik, only 4 for Luke. As I mentioned, Aaron Rodgers is back, still on IR, and he will be through Friday until the Packers activate him. Fronik, you're starting Cahunt and Flash Gordon this week. Great call by that to start those guys. I would definitely never tell you to not start them. How are you feeling about your matchup?
It's definitely scary because, honestly, at this point, Luke is the favorite, I'd say, especially if he makes it through me this week, because he's got Zeke coming back. So whoever plays him in the finals, if he does win, God bless. I don't know. I think I have some good matchups that are, you know, on the board. They're in the red, but actually that Baltimore pass defense has actually not been too great since Jimmy Smith went down. They allowed, I think it was 11 and 10.9 to Jones and Golden Tate, respectively. And then Brown just went off because, well, it's Antonio Brown. So this week I get to play against Brown, which is going to be great to watch that game and shoot myself multiple times. Because that's just such a good matchup. And Big Ben and Antonio Brown are just lighting it up lately. So that's going to be really scary. And then he's got the Ravens defense against the Browns. Out of all weeks, it's this week that he's playing the Browns against me. So, and then, for me, I like Drew Brees going against that Jets pass defense. We'll see how that game flow goes just because, you know, they might be up by, you know, 17-0 at the end of the first quarter or something like that. And, just decided to give it to those two running backs, so we'll see how that goes. And then McCoy, he's been just an absolute stud for me lately, and I picked him because I knew he was going to have a great end of the season schedule. I didn't know New England was going to be as terrible against the run, but I knew he was going to have a good run defense schedule. And then the Jags defense, I'm like coming in my pants like continually until Sunday, just because he's going to be going against TJ Yates. So that is going to be, I think, a big factor. I mean, they could get, you know, 20-25 possibly this week.
I mean, they started the season against Houston and got 29, and I think they're going to be going up against Savage or Yates again. So,
well, Savage, they're saying, is probably, I think Bill O'Brien already said that TJ Yates was going to start.
Okay. Well, yeah, that whatever.
So
That's like an easy 15, basically.
Yeah, and then Hunt against that Chargers defense. They were terrible against the run, and since they've actually gotten a lot better in the last few weeks. So we'll see how that game goes, and I think he's going to be the X factor. I'm having some trouble deciding my lineup decision just because I knew last week that it was going to be both a good matchup for Kareem Hunt and Marshawn, but I didn't want to sit one of my wide receivers, especially like Mike Evans or Doug Baldwin last week. So I don't know. I think it's pretty even. I don't know. I'm obviously just really scared to play Luke anyway. But I don't think that Aaron Rodgers is going to do amazing. It's a pretty tough pass defense in against quarterbacks, at least in Carolina. And he's just coming back from a broken collarbone, and it's like 80% healed up, they said. So I don't know. We'll see, I guess. But I don't know. I like my chances. They might be in the red, some of those matchups, but, you know, some of those can be really fluky.
Jared, what do you got on this?
Oh, this one's a lot tougher than the previous matchup. Yeah, I agree with Pronick that he thinks Kareem Hunt is his X factor. If it's the Kareem Hunt of the, you know, early in the season that shows up against the Chargers, that's, I think that will seal it for Pronick. But as we've seen in the past couple weeks, that's not necessarily, besides last week, but as we've seen in the past couple weeks, we don't really know. He's really boom or bust. Shady versus Miami, I see that he's questionable there. What's wrong with Sean McCoy?
He had a limited practice today just because his knee was a little sore. So they've actually been giving him rest because they understand he's like 29 years old. And he's had a lot of carries on his body. So they've actually been doing like, because they basically know that he's their team. If he goes down, like, they're just shit out of luck. So I'm not worried about him, but I am a lot more worried about Rudolph.
About Rudolph?
Yeah, he was in a walking boot today, so.
Oh, hey, Kyle.
Yeah. Fuck you, Kyle. Excuse me, I'm giving him. I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, if I have to start Safarian Jenkins, I'm just going to I don't know. It's going to be.
If you look at
that's going to be a matchup killer. If you have to play my guy, Austin Safarian Jenkins, you're probably going to lose.
I mean, Rudolph's actually been really solid for me the last, like, 3-4 weeks.
He's been heating up.
Since Thanksgiving, since Thanksgiving. He had those two touchdowns in the Thanksgiving game, and then I think he's had, like, a touchdown each or, like, 10 points.
Four touchdowns in the last three games. He's gone 20, 11, and 11.
Yeah, so
he's
as a tight end, that's, you know, pretty solid production, so...
It's going to be brutal for you, Pronick, watching that KC game, looking for Kareem Hunt to get his touches, and then every time Smith throws it to Kelsey, you know that those points are going the other way.
Yeah, that's going to be tough. Luckily, he doesn't have, like, what's his name? Alex Smith or anything. So it's like doubling up on points or anything. But, it's going to be pretty sad, but I think the Chargers have actually been pretty good against tight ends. Let me check.
Looking at the position rankings, like, as a whole, you look over at Pronick's side, it's pretty even, like a very well or fairly highly ranked position ranking group. Besides, like, the outlier is Josh Gordon at 121, but he's only played a couple games, so that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, he's averaged, he's gotten 10 and like almost 15 both weeks, so,
right?
And that's after playing not playing like for like 1,000 days or something like that.
Right, and then if you look over at Luke's, he's got a 2, a 7, a 1, a 1, and a 4, and then one of his 30s is Aaron Rodgers. I think that's pretty telling right there. Looking at it now, I just think Rodgers will have a good game. I think he's one of those types of players that once he has a fire lit under him, he plays better when he's pissed off, so he's going to come back with a vengeance. I just think Rodgers, Brown, Kelsey, Ravens D, Thielen, it's too much. And then next week he's going to have Zeke back. So, I don't...
Thank you, Rick, for giving him Thielen. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody in the constipation bracket, for not trading me a quarterback. Appreciate it.
Rick, you want Mariota?
Yeah, okay.
I don't know.
Do you think I was going to be able to give away Breeze? Like, no.
I look back over at you, Pronick, and I see Breeze there. You think that cancels out Rodgers. Obviously, McCoy and Hunt are better than Morris and Lewis. But then I see Antonio Brown, Thielen, and Kelsey. And it's just, I don't like Mike Evans on your team. Rudolph being hurt is tough.
Yeah.
I like Josh Gordon, but who knows? It's such a big unknown still here.
Yeah, it's just such a question mark right now, because Mike Evans has just been shit the last 2 weeks, and he hasn't been the wide receiver one that I was hoping he was, because I knew he was gonna have some good matchups down the end of the stretch when I traded for him. And looking back on it, Luke sent me a trade, and of course it was, hey, give me Kareem Hunt and Mike Evans for Antonio Brown. And I was like, I just traded for these guys. They just came off of bye. I got to see what's going on. So mm-hmm. I didn't do the trade, obviously, and looking back on it, just because of Antonio Brown's production, I would probably be the one seed because I would have beaten Tim if I had had Antonio Brown. So
imagine having Brown in there.
It's just a bunch of what ifs.
Who would you play at running back though if you didn't have Hunt?
Marshawn. I spent $14 on Marshawn because I knew he was gonna. I didn't know, but I had a good feeling that he was gonna start picking it back up again. Which I got some flack for. I got some flack for Josh Gordon, which I just want to say, fuck all you. So. I feel pretty good about my team. I think I have a nice slew of wide receivers talent-wise. I don't know about their matchups nor their dependence, you know, in that role, because they have some good playmakers around them. Each team does. So we'll see. I'm going to pick me in this matchup because, you know, of course, you gotta choose yourself. But I think I have the edge in the running backs, and I'm going to keep my fingers crossed for Antonio Brown not doing, like, 30 points on me, which hope to God he does not, but knock on wood, and let's go back to this pod and listen to it next week when he goes for, like, 45. All right?
I don't know. If you want any head coach that's going to game plan against Antonio Brown, it's Bill Belichick, but you got to realize when you're playing the Steelers, you also got to account for Bell, too.
Well, so. that's the thing that the Steelers do, or not the Steelers, sorry, the Patriots, they will game plan around that other team's best player. And they will just take them out of it. So if they're playing, you know, the Falcons, they'll take Julio out of it, which sometimes, you know, like in the Super Bowl, you know, he had some amazing catches. You just can't stop some of those players from doing it. And so we'll see. That game is going to be really fun to watch.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one.
Pretty scary just because he's going to have Antonio and Lewis going off. So we'll see.
What do you think, Rick?
Yeah.
Hold on. I'm trying to find what Antonio Brown's done in his career against the Patriots.
Oh.
Just a second.
Ted Ginn versus, I mean, he's questionable, but versus the Jets at home.
Yep. I mean, they've been susceptible to big plays. So if he's out, then, you know, good for me. But that'll be another scary game. Now, the other thing that's interesting about this matchup that I just thought about is that we have a lot of players that me and Luke have kind of fought over this year. Like, I was trying to get Ginn. I thought about getting and grabbing Ginn off waivers. I grabbed Luke's favorite player of all time and Josh Gordon ahead of him. I mean, I outbid everybody by like $9, I think it was, Shroot Bucks. And then he's also, you know, this has already been well documented, so I won't go too in-depth on it, but basically, me and Luke were fighting for Antonio Brown, and I wanted Antonio Brown for Tate and McKinnon, and he ended up giving Luke Antonio Brown for Chris Hogan, who's just played this last Monday, and Tevin Coleman, so...
Yeah, we remember.
Yep, a lot of different players that we've kind of fought over and wanted to get each through this year. So, interesting matchup, I think. I don't know how it's going to go, but let's hope it goes my way.
Antonio Brown against the Patriots, 30 catches for 377 yards and 3 touchdowns. He is 1-3.
So that's in 4 games. So what is that, like an average of like 80 yards and...
94 yards a game, and then like a little under a touchdown a game, basically.
Okay, so I mean, that's like 15 points, so that's like under his average, so that's good.
That's a pretty standard game, yeah, for him. I think it's interesting that what's his name, Luke, has Joe Mixon in at flex. He still hasn't passed concussion protocol, and then he's leaving Devontae Parker sitting on his bench. I think that would be a decent swap out there. I think Cutler's starting to get his shit together. That my question is they play at Buffalo. What's the weather report in Buffalo? If it's another one of those snow games,
I heard it was going to be really snowy, so I'm excited because McCoy loves playing in the snow. So
is it going to be another snow game? Is that?
I don't know if weather's going to have snow.
4% chance of rain on Sunday. It will be 32 degrees.
Oh, okay. No. Well, the reports have changed since Monday when I last looked. But
it's going to snow Monday, apparently, but not Sunday.
Damn it.
It's just going to be cold.
Parker could definitely be an option then if Mixon doesn't pass concussion protocol.
Yeah. I don't know. It's Buffalo versus Miami, right? So I think Buffalo's been terrible against the run.
They're the last in the league.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is surprising because they started off so well, like the first 4 or 5 weeks, and then they just traded everybody. Well, in everybody, I say Marcel Darius. But anyway, what do you think, Rick, of this matchup? Moving on, kind of.
Well, I'm on the sober Flash Gordon hype train. Always have been, always will be. Obviously, that's well documented. I think Antonio Brown has a really big game against New England, even though they try and game plan around him. They move him around a lot, and Big Ben kind of forces him the ball. I think he has a big game. I have no idea what to make out of Alfredo Morris and Deion Lewis, just because of the way that Smith has been playing and the way that, like, there's just the three-headed monster of, like, Belichick just kind of throwing a dart at a wall, and whoever it lands on, he's just like, all right, you're the starter for the game. And it's been, like, a decent mix between Lewis and Rex Burkhead. But honestly, I don't think anybody has any idea who the starter is going to be in that game. So I think your running backs have an advantage.
Honestly, I hope to God that his running backs just crap the bed, because they both have a lot better chance than mine do, I feel like at least. To crap the bed than mine.
Yes. Yeah.
Just because it's, you know, McCoy and Hunt. But we'll see. Hunt's been up and down.
Doug Baldwin, like, got all three of his catches on, like, one drive in the third quarter and, like, somehow showed up with 15 points, which is pretty incredible against that Jacksonville defense. Larry Fitzgerald just, like, still somehow playing. I don't think Evans has a good game against Atlanta, so I think the wide receiver edge goes to Luke. And if you can't play Rudolph and if he can't play Mixon and that both happens, I think that's kind of a wash. I didn't realize how serious Rudolph's injury was. I just kind of thought it was, we'll give him a day off of rest kind of thing. But putting on the walking boot is never a good sign.
Yeah.
So
the other thing, though, too, is to remember that it's Wednesday, and so we've still got, you know, another 4 days.
Right.
So we'll see. Friday will be interesting, though, to see
I think the Mixon one with the whole concussion protocol being cleared by a neurologist to get back on the field, that's not like, just he can play through the pain. That's completely out of his control. Mm-hmm. So I think that Mixon injury is the biggest deal out of them all.
Yeah. I'm really glad I'm not playing either of these teams. And I think whoever wins this matchup ends up winning the whole thing.
Please God be me. Please God be me.
I've been wrong a lot on this podcast, so I'm going with an all Nick final. I'm picking both Knicks to win this week.
Yes.
I think Fronik kind of gets enough out of his running backs that take advantage, and maybe I don't think Antonio Brown has a huge day, but I don't think it's going to end up being enough. I think Luke not having a worthy starting running back after he lost Zeke is going to finally come back and kind of bite him in the arse here.
Wait, so you're picking me?
Yes, I'm picking you to win.
You mentioned on the podcast last week, you were wondering if anyone had been tracking who you were picking or whoever the guests were picking throughout the year.
Right.
So throughout the year, I've been keeping track, and you picked against...
Ooh, analyze it.
You picked against me every one of my wins on my 6-game winning streak.
Nice.
And then...
Good work.
Except, I mean, I'm not counting the playoffs because last week was an outlier, but you picked me 3 times out of the 13 times possible, and 2 of those 3 times were the first 3 weeks. You picked me against Tim, and you picked me against Brandon. That was the first 2 weeks.
Huh.
And then you picked me to beat you, which, you know, self-deprecating Rick, that's like picking yourself. So
classic pessimist me.
Yeah. So
congratulations.
I feel pretty terrible.
Luke, then.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Rick. Good job. Congratulations, Luke. Thank you for basically crushing Jordan in the finals, because you're going to have Zeke and Rodgers and Thielen and Antonio Brown and Travis Kelce and Baltimore Ravens. So enjoy that. Thank you. Thank you for ruining my life and winning at fantasy sports every single year. All right. Can we talk about something fun, please?
Jared, did you get your pick in already? Did I miss that?
No, I picked Luke from the onset.
Okay. Thank you, Jared. Now I have a 50% chance of winning.
Yeah, both you guys are going to look pretty dumb when it's Jordan and Luke, and both you guys picked against me in these two matchups.
Okay, so do you blame me for picking myself?
No, I mean, you heard my thought process.
No, it's very valid. I think it's going to be, like, really close. I think it's going to be like the 2016 election, you know, it's going to be... One person
Trump's
wins.
Gonna win? I don't think that happens.
One person's gonna win, and then, you know, someone's gonna have the popular vote or some weird, confusing shit, and you know, the other person will win. I think it's gonna be a very close vote.
Okay. Stick to sports.
Yeah, thank you.
No.
The other two big matchups happening this weekend are in our constipation bracket. That is the losers bracket. The four teams, two matchups, one toilet bowl, and endless torture awaiting for next August to do stand-up comedy on the line. Jared and Pip, they're safe. Both won their week one matchup last week. Scott also won with a 154 over Duncan, who again did not break 100 points. But Scott is not out of the danger zone just yet, needing one more win to get to true safety. So the final pour, as I'm calling them, Brandon, team TCBY Hilton, Scott, team the Cleveland Hash Browns, Duncan, team Double Decker in Fries, and Andrew, team name now Salami Watkins. Two losers this week take part in Toilet Bowl 4, A New Hope. And with it being College Bowl season and our bowl pick'em happening, everybody make sure to get your picks in. We thought it would be fitting to do a confidence. A confidence pick'em. So the way it's going to work is Jared Cronin and I are going to pick our top four confidence picks of the GM that we think will end up doing stand-up. So one is the person that we are least confident in end up doing stand-up. Four is the most confident we will be seeing in front of a microphone. Who wants to start off with their number one pick here first? I think Jared, you haven't gone first yet.
No, I can. I'm ready to go.
All right. Hit it. Number one, your least confident person to do stand-up.
So, a.k.a. who I think is the best team out of the last four.
Yes.
Is Scott.
Oh.
Scott is my 1 point in my, you know, worth my 1 point pick in my confidence pick. I don't even know how to explain that. You know what I mean? I think he's the best team. I don't think he's going to do stand-up the most. Looking over his roster in general, just a very big overview of it. Derek Carr, I think, is a serviceable quarterback, but just slightly below average, but he's worth 15 points a week. Todd Gurley, number one of the best running backs in the league. Jay Stu is trash. That's whatever. Basically, when I look at his team, I see Todd Gurley and DeAndre Hopkins. And if they keep playing like they've been playing, Scott's definitely going to get a win this week. At flex, he's got Giovanni Bernard. If Mixon doesn't play this week, that's going to be huge. I don't know. This, as a whole, looking at Todd Gurley and Hopkins pairing is the best pairing out of all the rest of the three other teams. So I think that puts him ahead of everyone else. What do you think?
Well, that's interesting that you said that, because I actually agree. I've been talking Scott's team up this whole year, and, you know, the what ifs of what could have been, you know, with David Johnson and Greg Olsen healthy. But yeah, I agree. I think Scott would be hilarious up there on the stage doing some stand up.
Written his jokes 5 minutes before.
Oh yeah. It would just be so painfully like cringy. Like he would have some like awkward silences, but he would have planned that, you know, and you know, just look around. So I think Scott actually has a really good team in Todd Gurley and DeAndre Hopkins. Of course, of the consolation bracket is what we're talking about. But, yeah, I agree. I think he's got a good team. I mean, obviously that's going to be a little skewed when he goes for 154, the, you know, 3 days before we come
right
on this podcast.
Recency bias.
Yeah, exactly. But
he's got Greg Olsen on his bench.
Well, he lost, like, three games when he scored like over 100, I think. So it's not too bad when you think about Scott's team.
I disagree. My number one, I guess, least confident person that we're going to see doing stand-up is Salami Watkins, is Andrew. I think him with Aaron Rodgers playing, I think it makes the Jordy to Rodgers to Jordy connection a little bit stronger. Salami Watkins himself has been playing pretty good. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with Robert Woods coming back, if he's going to be able to keep up his production as well. I just think he beats Duncan this week, and that's why he's safe. So basically, that's kind of my reasoning behind it. He gets the win and he stays safe. So, yeah. Who's your number two, Jared? We'll go around the horn again.
Scott, you need to start Greg Olsen. Okay. Moving over to my number two, my second favorite team or best team in the consolation bracket, the second person I don't think will be doing stand up here for the next upcoming draft night, is, I think this is also a pretty controversial pick because there's been a lot of shit talking on this team and he's been doing a lot of self deprecation talk about himself, is Brandon. I think Brandon gets a win this week. I think that the Cowboys are surging, so Dak Prescott is going to be a good play going forward. I like Christian McCaffrey. I like Devonta Freeman. Crabtree's kind of boom or bust, but this week they're playing Dallas. I don't know, I think he'll have a decent game. The biggest thing I like about his team right now, currently, and I think that he'll win and get himself out of that dreaded, you know, last spot, is he's got Alex Collins at flex, the Baltimore running back, had a huge game last week. So I think the mixture of all that, that puts him behind Scott, but definitely ahead of Andrew and Duncan in my book.
I'm going to go in. I actually have Brandon at number two as well. And yeah, like, I agree. Dak Prescott figuring it out. McCaffrey hasn't done what I thought he was going to do, but Allen's and Devonta are doing well. T.Y., a little questionable wide receiver, but I agree. I think he beats Scott. I think he beats Scott this week, and that puts him at safety. That's why I've got those two in my bottom two confidence pool.
Wow. I think we're going to be unanimous. I picked Brandon.
Wow.
I haven't thought, I haven't thought that highly of Brandon's team for a while. But like Jared said, like, the Alex Collins pickup was a real nice pickup. And, you know, those top three of Dak Prescott, Devontae Freeman, and Christian McCaffrey have been, you know, solid. Seems like McCaffrey's starting to figure some things out. He's been, you know, pretty solid the last few weeks, if I remember correctly. And, Dak Prescott, he's going up against Oakland, so, and they're not great defensively. So, sorry, Scoot. Sorry, Pip. But they've not been great. So, I think just based on this week, he gets the win. And because it's if you win this week, you're basically not in it, right? It's just basically whoever goes 0-3.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So, yeah. I'd say Brandon's my second on the confidence pick. Basically.
All right. We're 3 for 3 there. Speaking of threes, who is your number three, Jared?
This one, I don't know. This one I had a hard between 2 and 3. This was probably I knew who my last person was going to be, and I knew who my first person was going to be, especially after last week. So my hardest was the decision between 2 and 3. It really just kind of, let me scroll over to the right team here. It really just kind of came down to liking Alex Collins and thinking that the Cowboys are surging versus an injured Cam Newton, an injured Lamar Miller. Frank, I'm picking Andrew. Andrew's my third. I think he's the second to highest chance of doing stand-up. And mainly for the reasons I already started to state, with Cam Newton's, he's averaging 18 points a game. I get that, but he's currently injured. So I don't know what kind of impact that's going to have going forward here in the last two games. I don't really like Lamar Miller. I don't think if you have zero passing threat, then you have no run game either, because everyone's just going to load the box against you. Frank Gore had a great game last week, but you don't want him as your RB2. You want him maybe as a flex. And then in his flex, he's got Adrian Peterson, which I don't think is a decent play at all.
He might not even play this week.
Exactly. And then his wide receivers.
They're not even sure if he's going to come back at all. So
Jordy Nelson is his saving grace now that Rodgers is back, and I think that's the one thing that's going to keep him out of the final spot, to be honest. That is what puts him ahead of, you know, who is my last pick. So what do you guys think?
Hate to agree with you, but yeah, I think I'm going to go with Andrew again. Yeah, I think last week was telling between Duncan and Scott's teams. I thought whoever lost that first game was going to be, you know, on their way to the championship for the losers bracket and the eventual winner for the stand-up. But
right.
I don't know. His team's just not done too great, basically, since week five when we were both 2-3. He's just got, you know, I mean, that Cam Newton pickup was a good pickup, but Frank Gore and Lamar Miller are not, you know, running backs that are going to get you a solid, you know, 12 points. You don't even know about getting a possible 8 between those two, especially against Jacksonville and Denver. Who Jacksonville's actually done a lot better against the run the last few weeks. And, you know, he's going up against Duncan, so I think he's got a good... He's not projected. He's projected for 94.3, but I think that's because he's got Adrian Peterson in at his flex.
And yeah, it's Tampa, super interesting to see the point projections for that game between them.
And he's also got Tampa Bay's defense too. So I'm curious to see.
That's not a good call.
Well, yeah. But he's also got Carolina's defense against angry Rodgers. So we'll see. I mean, he could always just pick up, you know, like the Browns defense or something, because those guys are a good defensive team.
Well, that leaves my number three pick, and I think this one's going to be a little controversial. I'm going with Duncan. I think he loses this week to Andrew, but his matchups in week 16 are pretty favorable, and now that he's got Crowell and Riddick as kind of starting guys, I think he's got a favorable chance to win the last week of the year to kind of save himself maybe in week 16. But his wide receivers are so, like, Richardson, Hogan and Smith-Schuster.
So bad.
That is like far and away the worst wide receiver core that we've got. And I just, like, that could be that even if he's got two starting running backs now, like those three wide receivers being that bad and like number two, number three options in their offense, or even lower in Chris Hogan's case. Oh man, that is that's reason enough to put him at four, but I think that he maybe gets saved with Riddick, Crowell, and Brady the last 2 weeks, or week 16 at least, because I think he's losing to Andrew this week. So yeah, I've got number three is Duncan, and so your guys is then your number four is Duncan then.
Yep.
Yeah.
I would agree with Duncan being last. I think Tim said it pretty poignantly a couple pods ago. Basically, Duncan kind of deserves to be last anyway. Sorry to hate on you, Duncan, but just in regards to fantasy, I don't like any of your moves thus far, and especially in not trading Antonio Brown to me. Not bitter at all. Yeah, I mean he didn't draft too well. He took Eric Decker in what, like the third round?
Yep.
Was that?
Yeah.
He took Adrian. Did he draft it? No. It was. Did he draft Adrian Peterson?
No, he drafted Marshawn really high.
Well, yeah, I knew that, but I thought he took both of those running backs super early.
No, I don't think he ever had AP.
Okay.
Did he?
I thought he did, and then he dropped him, and Andrew got him. But maybe Andrew just
sure
had him
did.
This all year.
Picked him up, pick number 94 in the eighth round, and then dropped him when he got traded, or before he got traded.
Yeah, before he got traded.
Boy.
Yeah. Ooh. He's dropped some. I mean, he dropped Marshawn Lynch when he was like 93% owned. So
he was suspended for one game, and he just dropped him. I don't like that was his only like quality player after Brady, basically. And
after
he's just like, he's going to be gone for one game. I better drop him.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, all in all, he hasn't had a good draft. He hasn't made any good pickups. Well, actually, I will take that back. He did pick up players that I dropped in Isaiah Crowell and Smith-Schuster, who have actually done decently well over the the past couple weeks that he did pick him up for. But other than that, no. Duncan hasn't eclipsed 100 in how many weeks, Rick? What's the count? Is it six straight? Or
let me look at his schedule.
Yeah, I think we've talked about this ad nauseum.
He hasn't done it since week two.
Week two. That was against me. Yeah,
and that was the only time he did it.
Oh, yes. Okay. Then, yeah.
Well, for his team, it doesn't help that Jordan Reed's on IR. I don't know. I'm trying to look for anything for, I don't know, he could maybe start Brandon LaFell instead of one of those other three wide receivers, or Travis Benjamin. At least LaFell had 9 points last week, or almost 10 points last week. I don't know. You look at the wide receivers, and those are just, on any other team, they would be shitty flex options in there, his starting three wide receivers. What I find interesting, actually, on his team is what we talked about. We talked about the Jets versus the Saints, right? And Saints defense. It says right here, Josh McCown is on IR.
Yeah, he broke his hand, and they placed him and... So the Jets placed McCown on IR, and Carson Wentz was placed on IR, I think it was yesterday.
So, I mean, that just even reinforces my Jordan pick even more, with also the Kenyon Drake versus the worst run defense in the league. So I'm sorry, Rick, but just to pile on a little bit more, I think Jordan's going to win.
So how fun. So can we kind of do like a imagination skit, like what we think Duncan's going to do for his stand up? Like, what do you think he's going to talk about? Like, just,
I really think he should go musical. I think he should go like guitar musical comedy with it. Like, I think he should add a musical element into his stand up because, I mean, he's probably more comfortable on stage in front of people with a guitar, so why not just throw a little guitar in there with your comedy?
Yeah. Maybe do some, like, self-deprecating humor with, like, how shitty of a musician he is or something like that. Like, because we always roast him for, you know, all of his music and stuff like that. So I think that'd be a good option at getting back at us.
I don't know. That would only work, like, if you're doing stand-up in front of us and, like, you make fun of yourself. But you've got to come up with jokes that, like, other people are going to get. Which is kind of like the worst part about it is you're not just doing like 5 minutes of stand up for us, but you're doing it like at a bar in some random city in front of strangers, which maybe that makes it better because maybe they'll never see you again. But I don't know.
I don't know. I think he'll put, if he ends up doing the comedy night or whatever he does a stand up, I think given enough time, I mean, he's going to have, you know, damn near a whole year to prepare for this.
That's true.
Given anyone, but especially Duncan, he's a smart guy. You give him enough time, he'll put together a decent set, I think. And I think when also you talked about his stage presence and being comfortable in front of a crowd, I don't think being on stage would bother him at all. And given enough time, he would be able to do anything that we told him to do up there. So yeah. I think it'll be all right.
Oh, yeah. I have all confidence in these four. I mean, I think any of the four would actually be hilarious up front in front of, you know, not just us, but a bunch of random strangers. Especially given, you know,
I think Andrew would probably, like, if he could volunteer to do it, I think Andrew would probably volunteer to do it. Because he seems like the kind of guy that's like, I've been working on jokes for a while. I think I should actually just do the jokes.
Yeah. I mean, it might just come with being a doctor where he just thinks he's just smarter than everyone, that he just,
Smarter than almost everybody but Mike, because Mike's a lawyer, so.
Well,
true.
Do we know if lawyers are smarter than doctors? I mean, is that a proven statistic?
Well, Mike is halfway done with his first full year of law school, and Andrew...
Good luck, Mike, on Friday. I know you got a tough final coming up. Just wanted to give you a little shout-out. This is a little pep talk for you. You're going to do fine. It's going to be great. We're going to have a good time this weekend when Jordan comes up. I'm sure you've studied nice and hard, so we're all rooting for you.
You're going to pass the bar, buddy. We believe in you.
You're going to get 106% on it.
Yeah.
Do the extra credit.
Even though that's not possible.
Anyways, like I was saying, Mike is basically a lawyer already, and Andrew hasn't gone to med school yet, so he's not actually doctor smart. Mike is legitimately book smart.
Wow. But Andrew works in a doctor's office, and Mike doesn't work in a
lawyer's office.
A courtroom or something. I don't know what the fuck ever lawyers work.
Wow, beat that.
Okay, So maybe they're equally smart. I don't know.
Maybe that should be our next week's segment. Who's smarter?
we'll have the two people in the toilet bowl do an IQ test, and the low score. Ooh. Ooh, God, that would be good. That would be horrible, actually. Well, let me get into why I put Scott 4, I guess, real quick. I know he had the big week last week, but Jay Stew, I mean, only for the second time this year, went for 100 yards and, like, what was it, like 55 came on one run. Hopkins and Gurley are great and they're fantastic and they can get, you know, 50 points between them, but I don't know where he's going to get the next like 30 points from to like break 80 or 90 a week, because it's basically, if you're playing Duncan, like it's going to take 100 because he's only gotten there one
Olsen,
time.
Olsen, well, and Carr, right?
Marquise,
I don't think Carr is worth, like, I don't think he's a good starting option.
Marquise Goodwin has actually been...
Dad died?
What?
Did you guys see that? Marquise Goodwin's dad died like a couple weeks after he lost his child. Now his dad is dead.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you were confusing it with another player that, and I was like,
no, Marquise Goodwin. Okay.
The guy that lost his child, right? Yeah.
Exactly. So T's and P's, but so geez, he'll probably have a good game because he had a good game after his son died. So.
Wow. That's so sad.
Yeah.
Wow. But
how does that make you feel, Rick?
I mean, like, I don't feel good. Like, that's pretty terrible. Like, losing. But, like, he's not.
Oh, I feel great. I think that's awesome.
Good,
yeah.
He's not a good fantasy player, unfortunately.
No, he's actually been pretty steady, especially with.
Also, Greg
Garoppolo,
Olsen has
right?
been. Greg Olsen has been incredibly shit when he's played. Like, he broke his leg in, like, the second game, but he only has, like, three other receptions on the year. I absolutely think that Brammer Crate is the better play at tight end. Like, I don't think Greg Olsen is going to come out of nowhere and just have a big week suddenly. Like,
why the fuck not?
Well,
because I said so.
How good are the Falcons against tight ends? They're pretty good, right? They're top 10.
Well, Carolina's playing Green Bay. You're talking
about Brammer
Crate. Falcons are 10th. So,
So top 10. Yay. I'm right.
There you go.
I would say Brate is the right play, just because Greg Olsen, like, I was keeping my eye on him and I was talking to Scott about possible trades, the month leading up to him coming back off IR, and I've kept my eye on him since, just to see if it was going to be a good trade or not, and I'm glad I didn't make the trade, but Olsen has not been good, so we'll see how he does next year. That's pretty much my thoughts.
I don't know. I'm putting Scott at 4, basically because I think that Gurley and Hopkins haven't been enough for him all year, except for
last week.
Last week, but it helped that, I mean, he also
in the week he beat me.
Yeah, in the week he beat you.
Yes, like he
the
okay,
4 weeks
no,
he's
that's,
won.
That's what I've said. That's what I mean. Is like those two guys go off, and then he needs three other guys to go off too. And like he hasn't had three other guys go off too. If he's got the number one running back and number one wide receiver, and that's been enough, then Scott should have been like the number 7 or 8 team, not the number 11 team. Like I don't think he's got enough outside of Gurley and Hopkins these last 2 weeks to be able to like pass like move along like. I don't know. Like, Sanu somehow steals a bunch of touchdowns and, like, has a big week or whatever. And now he's got Bernard, which, if he's a starter, like, that's a huge plus. But I don't know where he's going to get another 35, 40 points from his other 8 guys these last 2 weeks, because he's got some incredibly tough matchups.
Well, you get 10 from his defense, right? So.
Scott's team is like Jurassic Park. It finds a way. What's his name? The mathematician in that? Goldblum's character. He just says, you know, life finds a way. Well, you know, Scott's team just finds a way. So I think, I mean, he's only found a way.
He finds a way to lose. That's why he's tied for 11th.
Okay. Did you see last week, Rick?
Yes, I
recency
did.
Recency bias.
And you guys recently biased put him high. I tried to take that out of it, and I put him low because I don't think he has enough outside of Gurley and Hopkins. Because
he hasn't had enough
outside of Gurley and Hopkins.
All right, hashtag Mad Rick. We should IQ test all of us right now.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'd scored 69.
69.9 or just a straight 69?
Just pure 69 right now.
I feel like that would be really good radio for us to just read through IQ test results.
Dude, great radio. GR8.
123test.com/IQ test. Free IQ test.
Very official.
Or we could do quick IQ test. Let's do that. It's a .net. That's probably better.
How quick is it, though?
We're going to find out.
Quick.
All right, let's take an IQ. Oh, boy, this first one's visual.
It's a good radio. This is great radio.
All right, so Rick's going to be doing a lot better than I am.
From the offered selection of the picture above, find the one that logically fits the open cell.
What?
Right, I can't explain this to you guys, so I'm going to guess. Let's go that guy.
How many questions is it, Rick?
Maybe 10. I don't know.
You're going to probably have to pay like the fee.
How about this, Rick? You take it, and then while you're taking it, Fronik and I will talk about my matchup versus Pip, and then Mike's matchup real quick.
Yeah, you guys do that.
All right. First off, Fronik, I just want to say I'm going to fucking kill Pip this week. I'm going to wipe him with the fucking floor. Like I'm going to roll him. I'm going to win by 30 points. And he, yeah. Like, it's not just because of this game doesn't mean anything, doesn't mean I want to stomp him. So,
well, I mean, you're done. Who did you just, you lost to someone right after you made that podcast? You're like, oh, I'm just going to stomp out everyone and upset
them.
Oh,
yeah. I said it was going to, I lost to Tim, barely.
Oh, yeah, dude. I feel so sorry for you. That's two weeks out of this year. Yeah. I was looking at all the close losses that you had. Honestly, if you were to, I mean, I never, well, I guess I did look at that thing that Luke posted, but if we were to probably look back at it, you probably should have had 8 or 9 wins just based on the points you scored and your close losses, actually. Not really any points scored.
Super cool. I'm the third highest projected point total this week.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's just great. So you're projected higher than Jordan then?
I am. I definitely am.
Wow.
Yeah.
Basically, and then, you're dark horse candidate to win it all, and you're projected to score more than him. You must feel great about life right now.
Yeah, I feel super good. But looking over at Mike's and Tim's matchup, I don't know. Tim's team was very, I don't know. I thought it was going to be a lot better last week than it actually did. The whole Alvin Kamara thing getting injured was huge. So.
Yeah, that was, I mean, if he
that
doesn't
ruined
go for,
him.
If Kamara doesn't go for 30 every week, then Tim was SOL because, I mean, his starting wide receivers right now are
Matthews, Stills, and Jones. So bad.
And, you know, that might rival Duncan's as the worst wide receiver. Because, I mean, you look at all the wide receivers. You look at all the wide receivers that he drafted, and he had, I remember looking and thinking, wow, he's got a slew of wide receivers just that are just nasty. And Amari Cooper, he had Pryor, who I was thinking he was going to be a breakout candidate this year for the Redskins. And then he had Brandon Marshall and
happened to Terrell Pryor?
And Martavis Bryant, too. Those four wide receivers.
Pryor get cut or is he on IR?
Pryor's on IR.
Wow.
Pryor's on IR and Marshall's on IR. Cooper's been bad and Martavis went through the whole suspension. And
looking at Tim's roster, I don't like it at all.
No.
Orleans Darquez is
this
flex.
This is some bullshit.
He definitely...
I like Evan Ingram. I think that was a great... I don't think you drafted him. I think you picked him off of waivers.
Yeah,
he picked him up
after that first week.
That's a big pickup. And then obviously Alvin Kamara drafting him was massive for how it paid dividends here towards the end of the season. And it helped him go on that run just to at least get into the playoffs.
Honestly, but if you were to combine Rick's early drafting and
Tim's late drafting,
that would have been like the team of the year. Just because... Well, and also Rick had some late picks too that were nice, but if you look at like Tim's first nine picks,
Zach Ertz and Adam Thielen, I don't know if that's ever actually been brought up before.
I didn't mention names at all
for that reason.
For that reason, exactly. Yeah. If you look at Tim's like first 9 or 10 picks, they're just like absolutely terrible. Like the way that, I mean, they were good at the beginning of the draft. Like, I mean, I think we would have all agreed that Tim probably had a very solid team. But none of them panned out. They were basically like the Browns. Like, all the percentages went in the wrong favor for him. Like, I didn't think DeMarco Murray was a good pick, just because I wasn't sure how Derrick Henry was going to do, stealing, you know, carries and whatnot. But there was a lot of those picks.
Email the results, you fucking bitch.
I told you. Did you have to pay?
I didn't have to pay, but I got to register my email. What the fuck is that about?
Okay, then make like a burner email or something like that, like Kevin Durant did.
If you can't figure out what your results is, I think that answers our question, Rick, of what your IQ is. How the hell did Jimmy Graham not put up any points last week? I'm so sorry, Mike.
That was
like the best. It was kind of it was such a
sorry
angering moment when I would
look... Oh, I do have to pay, you motherfucker!
I told you, dude. You always have to.
Now I need a personality test?
Find out on next week's pod what Rick's IQ is.
Okay, let's go over my... Hold on. Let's go over my personality test. What is my age and my gender? I think I'm 65 and over, female.
69.
Well, it stops at 65 and over.
So 65 and over.
Okay.
Female. I feel like that's kind of an intrusive question to ask what my gender is.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. There are only, it's that's a binary option as well.
Yeah. Ew.
Non-binary.
This is 2016.
What? It's almost 2018, dude. Duh.
Oh, fuck you. I'm not paying you for your bullshit free thing.
All right. Well, it's been great on the pod. Rick.
Thank you, Rick.
Thanks for having us in.
6 or 7 minutes taking an IQ test to find out if you actually are smart.
Turns out I'm a fucking idiot is what I am. Yeah. Thank you, Fronik and Jared, for coming on the pod and Skyping in and going over all the matchups. We hope you all enjoyed it. Thank you for listening to this week's Semi-Pro Ducks Fantasy Football Podcast. If we didn't talk about any players on your team and you're in a semifinal matchup or maybe in another league and you just need to hear more about your player, be sure to tune into Fantasy Football Today. Fantasy Football Today is on Sunday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m., where the team will be going over last-minute rankings, daily fantasy advice, the latest on actives and inactives, and, of course, the always important start-sit advice. That's Fantasy Football Today live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on 95.3 The Score in Eugene and online at 953thescore.com and on the CBS Sports app. Best of luck to you in your matchup this week, and thank you again for listening to the Semi-Pro Ducks Fantasy Football Podcast.
Thanks. I think Mike wins. Bye.